lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon is from Romans chapter 7. But let us first read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us read together Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask the Lord for his help and blessing. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who are we to try even to draw nigh unto thee? For thou knowest all that lives within our evil and wretched hearts, and thou who art great and who art eternal, and lifted up above all that is in this universe, in the third, in the highest heavens, in the place where thou art from eternity to eternity, thy servant did say, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. And we as men in this world need to know what our place is before thee. O Lord, thou knowest how that our father Adam has also lifted himself up above thee, that he would be as a God. O Lord, thou knowest the heart of each and every one of his descendants, that we are ever the children of Adam. O grant us eyes to behold it, and that we may receive by thy Spirit that place of true humility, and when we try to approach unto thee before whom, and that we have not a single right to ask anything. And yet thou dost say, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it, because thou didst send thy only begotten Son into this world, that he would save those that are lost. O Lord, look upon each and every one of us, because we are also so lost. O, we need that thou would search for us, that thou wouldest find us who will never seek after thee with a heart that is only longing and desiring and seeking after everything that is worldly, carnal, sensual, and devilish. O Lord, we need to be born again. And thou who hast all the power given unto thee in heaven and in earth, and who has accomplished everything, that thou mayest deliver a people who do not deserve it and who have no power to give it unto themselves. O, we beseech thee that thou wouldest stretch forth thine hand this day, in this hour, in thy house of prayer, when we are gathered together with our children, all polluted in our own blood and cast out into the open field. O Lord, who can bring forth one good thing before thee, whereof thou art able to say, this is clean and this is good? Or it is all corrupt from the sole of our foot to the crown of our head. O, what can we say unto thee, but that thou art right to cut us off and to cast us away from thee? Oh, we need to experience and to know what our wretchedness is, that we may come in the way of true humility, and that thou may give unto us grace, or that thou may give it unto us without money and without price, that we may receive it as those who are so undeserving, having spent all that living that thou hast given unto us, and having spent it in the world with harlots. O Lord, we have brought ourselves even into that swine pit,
But oh, do come by thy Spirit and make us to consider with that prodigal of old who that thou art. Oh, that we may arise up again. Oh, that we may go again. And that we may humble ourselves before thee. And that we may beseech of thee. And that thou may give us the lowest place in thy kingdom. Oh, Lord, just to take us in. And because we are not worthy of anything. Oh, that all the honor may be thine and all the glory. But that we may receive yet that benefit that thou hast bought for thy church. Oh, Lord, include us in it. Wilt thou look upon young and old? Thou knowest how that we travel. Oh, we are from ourselves so unconcerned about the need of our poor souls. Then everything in this world matters, but our soul, and that can go on and on. Oh, Lord, we are dead in sins and in trespasses. Stop thou us in our mad career. That is our only hope. It is our only expectation. We beseech it of thee, Lord. Also in this afternoon hour, when we are together in thy house, and that thou wouldest appear amongst us, when thou camest into this world, then thou didst reveal who that thou wast by all the works that thou didst do. And thou didst say, believe me for the work's sakes. O Lord, may it be that those works may be evident in the midst of us, amongst both young and old, that we may be witnesses with our own eyes and with our own ears, the raising of the dead, even in the midst of us, and of the healing of the blind, and of taking away the deafness, and of making men to walk. Lord, wilt thou grant true and saving faith that may be exercised even as that blessed gift of God, and thereby to receive what is spiritual and what comes all from thee and thy dear and only begotten Son by that most powerful work of thy Spirit. And our fathers did write that it is a work that is most delightful. Oh, that it might be experienced so also in this afternoon hour. That it is a most delightful thing to be in thy house, and when thou dost pour out a little of thy love in the midst of our hearts, in the midst of a sin-cursed world, that may draw our souls after thee, that we might run after thee. Look upon the aged ones, one foot already in the grave, and yet, Lord, there is nothing that can awaken us except thy Spirit. Have mercy upon, and that thou may look upon all the young as well. And Lord, thou knowest that the understanding is small, but thou who art able to give, to make it so simple, didst say, suffer little children to come unto me. And forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that we might become, each one of us also fathers and mothers, as little children. Oh, that we might become as so foolish in our own eyes, and that thou wouldst make us teachable who are not teachable, and that thou may grant us instruction, that thou may look upon the sick and all the afflicted. Wilt thou care for each one in their place and all that care for them, those that labor in the midst of the health care system. Remember also those that do go forth in the midst of thy church as instruments of thy hand to bring thy word to Jew and to Gentile. O Lord, that thou may look upon all those that serve thee, and that thou may bless the labors of their hands, that it may be for the bringing in of thy kingdom. Do look upon our student in the theological school. Lord, make it easy for him. Visit him much with thy spirit and with thy counsel and the instructors together. Oh, may it be continually good to be together. Oh, could it please thee also to increase the number of those who may study in our own theological school. Oh, Lord, that thou may convert men, or that thou may give office bearers also in the midst of us, and that thou may give men who are called unto that holy ministry. Thou knowest that it is too much for the shoulders of a man, but we need to do nothing but to go before thee, but to come after thee, that thou may go before us and to follow thee. O Lord, then it is so good. Then we are in thy hand. Oh, then thou dost help. Wilt thou look upon our own school, our children, the school in Calgary, and those that labor in the church there. Give thy blessing. Help the instructors. Give thou also an increase in their number. Bind that matter of that work upon the hearts of our youth, upon the hearts of our young people, that they may give themselves to that worthy work. For thou knowest the great need in the midst of our denomination and what is necessary for the upcoming generation. O Lord, bind it upon us in thy mercy. Go thou with our government, that thou may be on the right and on the left, and wilt thou give men in thy favor to turn us back again to thy law and to thy testimony. Be thou with us in this hour. Lord, help us. Give us strength. Give us wisdom. Give us thy spirit to speak and to hear. Bring thy word in with power. Forgive and take away our many sins, and look upon us in and through him whom thou always hearest. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 40, stanzas 1 through 6. The law that the Lord has ordained is perfect in the soul to restore. His truth makes the simple most wise, the truth that is sure evermore. 1 through 6 of Psalter 40. beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus told a parable about a rich fool as he comforted himself with all the goods that were in this world, not realizing that he would have to die and appear before God in that same night. He had no desire, therefore did not seek, and therefore did not find those blessings which are spiritual. The psalmist says, man, and that is in honor and understandeth not, is like the beasts that perish. Only worse than the beasts, because the beast has no eternity. And worse shall it also be with a religious professor all our life long, who has no oil in his lamp, and who does appear at that celestial gate on that great day only to be told by the Lord, I never knew you. By nature, we walk unconcerned. By nature, we walk calmly through this world with no perception of our misery, of our state, and of the condition of our soul. Sin does draw the cords of our heart, and sin does blind the eyes of our mind, so that we refuse to weep with those that mourn unto us, and we refuse to dance with those who do pipe unto us. The true happiness of the soul, we have heard, and that can only be enjoyed by the knowledge of three things. And the first of those three things is the knowledge of our misery. The human race has been plunged into misery through the fall, but we do not realize it. We do not see it. We do not feel it. We do not mourn for it. And we do not seek to be delivered from it. If we know nothing of that misery, we cannot be saved. That is impossible. And there is much also that is called Christianity in our day, and that is looking lightly upon this matter, but that is actually a fatal mistake. But do you then ask, what is then my misery? And how may I come to know what my misery is? That is the subject of our catechism for this afternoon hour, that is found in Lord's Day 2, questions 3, 4, and 5. Lord's Day 2, question and answer 3. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. Question and answer 4. What doth the law of God require of us? Christ teaches us that briefly, Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Question and answer 5. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? In no wise, for I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. So far, our Lord's Day, the misery of fallen mankind, first, by what means it may be known, in question and answer 3, and second, in what this misery consists, in question and answers 4 and 5. The misery of fallen mankind, first, by what means it may be known, and second, in what it consists. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Before that we answer this question, we wish to speak a moment about what it means to, it says here, know thy misery, because knowledge is not all the same. We do not always mean exactly the same thing by it. So what are our fathers speaking about in this question and answer? We see, boys and girls, sometimes a funeral procession. Then we see those that are mourning. And then maybe we can feel for them a little bit when they have to lose maybe a brother or a sister or a father or a mother. But it is a very different thing for us to mourn ourselves. And that would be when our own brother or sister or mother or father would pass away. Then we know what it is to mourn in a different way than we know when we only watch someone else. And thus, we say that that is knowledge that comes by experience, that is now known in a different way than when we just watch or we read something in a book. And now when our fathers here are speaking about knowledge, they are speaking about this kind of knowledge. Thus, when they are asking this question, whence knowest thou thy misery? Then they are really asking by what means. And does a man come if the Lord will convert a person? By what means is it that the Lord, that a man is coming to experience, to know that misery in a way that is different than I know it when I just hear from my mother and father and minister and elder and teacher when they say that the first thing that we must know is our misery? Then you understand that we need to know more than just a doctrine in our mind. And thus, what do our fathers answer here? They say, out of the law of God. Why? Because that is what the Bible says. It says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. So that is very, very plain. And thus, Paul, he says, where no law is, there is no transgression. If there is no law against something, and then it is impossible to transgress. And when, of course, I do not know what that law is, and then that law also is not able to convict me of my sin. There are different kinds of laws in the universe. There are what we call natural laws. They are laws which are affecting
the planets, for example, and that are keeping those planets in their proper places and the stars in the whole universe, the natural laws that are affecting the behavior of all the matter, all the things that exist in this world. Then there are also laws of instinct by which the animals are governed, and laws of instinct which are also affecting human beings. All of these laws are bringing that matter into order. They are created by God, and that was to give order to the chaos. That then the Lord has given that world that he has made in that very beginning, we read, it was without form and it was without form. Then we read that the Lord gave it form. He gave it structure. He brought function into the world, and it is necessary that the Lord is also upholding that function, that all of those natural laws are remaining in the world by his providence, because if the Lord would let that go, then everything would descend again into chaos. We do not understand when we sin against God. A God that is not only our creator, but also our provider and our upholder every single moment. That when we sin against God, that God has the ability in one moment to allow this entire world to descend again into a complete chaos. To his rational creatures, God has also given another law. It is a different kind of law again. It is the moral law. That is, according to the moral order of himself, which is not applicable to the animals, but is only applicable to the highest order of creation. It is only applicable to the rational men, rational creatures. That is the law, the moral law, by which the Lord is pleased to govern the entire human race. That is the law of righteousness. So what does that mean? That law tells us what is right. It tells us what is wrong. It tells us what is good. It tells us what is evil. It also tells us what are the rewards for doing good. And it tells us what are the consequences, what the punishment will be for doing what is evil. You understand, children, that the animals, they do not know what evil means or what good means. So the moral law that is much higher than the beasts, that is made for you and I, who were created by God so much higher than those animals of the field. Thus, that law that is setting forth also the consequences. What does that mean? That means that we are also answerable. We are answerable to authority. The human race has been created under law. That is, it is created under God, under the law of God. God also places us by his law under the laws of men. That is, he establishes government. And government is not existing because human beings decide from their side that we need to give up some of our own rights in order to have order in the midst of society? No, but the Lord himself has established that order by giving to us government and by, in his own law, commanding man to place himself in subjection to that government that he is establishing in the world, as we read that he is the one who puts up one and he puts down another. When laws are established, then you and I know our obligations to earthly princes, and we know our obligations to the heavenly king. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. So how is that now? That a man may know his misery by knowing his obligations. Well, then we must know what our transgressions are that are against that law. Thus we know something of that misery immediately when we feel our guilt. Do you feel that? Then we perceive also that we are liable to punishment. Oh, how miserable that can make a man to be. You say, why then does he not cease his sin? Well, it is because the love of sin that is in our heart does not permit us to cease. But what do? We try to make that conscience, that speaking conscience, silent. So that the things that we desire in this world, the pleasures of the world, the sin of the world, we may still continue in. Satan makes a person very busy. You too, young people, parents, or he makes so very busy for a reason. Why? That is that we do not think. That we do not stop, that we do not meditate, because when our conscience is speaking, then it is easiest for us and the most profitable way to silence that conscience when we are busy doing this and that and thinking and dreaming, and then we cannot think and we cannot be bothered by that conscience which is speaking against our sin. But what is now happening when the Lord is stopping a person? Do you ever ask the Lord to do that? Do you ever say, Lord, stop me? Do you ever see that you are not able in yourself to resist all that temptation? Or do you ask for the power of heaven and that irresistible power of his spirit, that the Lord would put in your way as something that would prevent you from continuing on to work out your own destruction? What is now happening when the Lord is stopping a man? Then the Lord makes him to consider. Do you know what David says? Thine arrows stick fast in me. Do they stick fast in you too? If the Lord shoots an arrow, then we are not able to go on anymore. Then we have to stop. Then we have to think. Then we have to meditate. And by such arrows, the Lord shows us that we are worthy, that we are worthy of that punishment, that we feel, that we know is coming because of that guilt and that is within our conscience. And then the Lord shows to us something of the certainty that that punishment is also coming. Or how can it be that a man feels anything but miserable if the Lord is stopping him in such a way? Congregation, are there those that go over the world as miserable creatures? For that true church, if it is indeed the stopping of the Lord, because we all have a conscience, of course, but if it is indeed the work of the Lord, the stopping of the Lord, then there is more than this. Because what does David say? He says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Thy law, what does he mean? Well, that is really the whole word of God. But David speaks also much of the statutes and the precepts of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord. And thus, the Lord did show to him as something of the blessedness and the preciousness and of the beauty of that law of the Lord. That is now the way of righteousness. And so when the Lord is stopping a man, then it is not that he says, "I must obey that law," but the Lord is giving him a desire to obey that law. Oh, then it becomes his burden that he says that is now the way of righteousness. But who am I? I am a transgressor of that law. That means I am one who is on the outside of that righteousness of God. I am walking in the way of unrighteousness. I am a transgressor of that law. He perceives this to be his misery. His misery. He is on the outside of something. The Dutch word for misery is ellende. Actually, that speaks about banishment or exile. That is where that word has originally come from. That means to be outside of your land. You are banished from your land. That is now also what is experienced in that new birth. Or created in that way of righteousness. But I am now completely banished. I am completely exiled. I am living without God and without hope in this world. Thus, whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. That law of God is declaring what righteousness is. And it is revealing, because of a man's own transgression, it is revealing that which a man is standing on the outside of. Thus he begins to see what it is that he is lacking, what he is missing, as he is walking through this world. And what is that? That we see here in our second thought, in what the misery of fallen man consists. What doth the law of God require of us? Christ teaches us that briefly, Matthew 22:37-40. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You say, boys and girls, but I thought that there were 10 commandments. We learned them. That is right. Why does the Lord Jesus there in Matthew, he says that there are two commandments. That is, because the Lord Jesus is giving a summary of the whole tables of the law, the two tables of the law, the first table and the second table of the law. Thus, the law is not in this section of our catechism explained from commandment to commandment, because the law has more purposes than one. The law is a rule of life for the true church. And thus our fathers have chosen to place it, its explanation from commandment to commandment, in the last section of the catechism, in the section of gratitude. But the law has another purpose. That is also the purpose of conviction, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. And therefore, here in this first part, this law also appears. But here it appears in the summary form. And what is now the summary? One word. So that is very easy, children, for you two today. What is now the summary? That is love. Love. Thus, love is the obligation that God, as creator, when he has created all mankind, Adam and Eve, and that they may multiply in the earth, then the commandment, the obligation that the Lord has placed upon mankind is love. That is not just a recommendation. That is not just advice. That is an obligation. That is duty. That is the commandment of the law of God. That is what you and I are soon going to have to give an account for when we are standing before that judgment seat of God. Love. That is now the sum and the substance of all morality. What does John say? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this commandment that has two objects that we read of here. The one is God himself, and the other is all mankind, our fellow mankind, as we are traveling through this world. Concerning God himself, Christ says, this is the first and the great commandment. Why? Well, to love God is the substance of true worship. Is the substance of true worship. That's what worship is. That is to love him. Do you love him? Do I love him? The commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. What do you think? I would like to read something to you for a moment. That was what Ursinus, one of the authors of the Catechism, in his explanation of this Lord's Day, what he writes about what the love of God with all of the heart actually is. So let us listen for a moment and let us lay our heart next to this, what Ursinus writes. To love God with the whole heart is upon a due acknowledgement of his infinite goodness, reverently to regard and esteem him as our highest good, to love him supremely, to rejoice and trust in him alone, and to prefer his glory to all other things, so that there may not be in us the least thought, inclination, or desire for anything that might be displeasing to him. Yea, rather, to be willing to suffer the loss of all things that may be dear to us, or to endure the heaviest calamity, than that we should be separated from communion with him, or offer him, or offend him in the smallest matter. And lastly, to direct all this to the end that he alone may be glorified by us. How is it with you? How is the congregation with me concerning the love of God? That is the obligation of every single creature, mankind, here upon this world. That is lying upon each and every single one of us. That is not just for God's people. No, that is the command that comes to both young and old, great and small, converted men and unconverted alike. It is the entire obligation of that first part of that law of God, for which we must give account soon when we appear before him. How is it then with us? Even in our own sight, when we hear what that love of God is, that is required of us with all our heart, and how will it now be for us to have to give an answer to God for this requirement? Let us sing Psalter 222, 4, 6, and 7. O my people, hear my pleadings. Oh, that thou wouldst hearken now. No strange worship shalt thou offer, nor to idols shalt thou bow. 4, 6, and 7 of Psalter 422. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. The human soul consists of three aspects, that is, the mind and the affections and the will. Here, they are called the mind and the heart and the soul. Thus, that is the entire inner being of man that is here being pointed to, that is being referred to. So there is no aspect, as it were, of the being of man that is not coming under this obligation of love unto God. We are His creatures. We are made by Him. We are made for Him. And we are not made for ourselves. Our entire being is obligated to love Him with all our strength. You have a lot of that, right, young people? A lot of that. There are some young people. They are so strong. Well, they lift weights. They lift weights. Yeah. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? All that strength that the Lord gives to you young people, especially in the days of your youth. Now we read that in our catechism, that is all belonging not to you, but that is belonging unto the Lord. So do you ever ask yourself, what are you now going to do with all the ingenuity of your mind? What are you going to do with all of the ability of your body? Are you trying to increase that it may be for your pride or for your gaining of things in this world? Well, then we have also to come into judgment with all that the Lord has given unto us. And that is not all. But that law that is setting before us also not only the matter, the substance, but it is setting before us also the degree, because the law of God is not able to admit the least imperfection. That is according to the immaculate nature of God Himself. And we hear that in the last question here. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? Congregation, would it not be a wonder if we could keep some or one of those things that we have heard imperfectly? If it might only be in our life, you would say, in truth? Is that the desire that lives within your heart? Is there anything so sweet? Is there anything so blessed? Is there anything so precious as the love of God in your heart? Do you know a little bit of that? That is known, that becomes known in regeneration. The Lord is not driving His people. No, the Lord is drawing His people. He draws them with love. Love unto Himself. And then that law of God is no longer a burden. Is that a burden to you? That law of righteousness, the way of righteousness, is that a burden? But if the Lord grants us a new heart, children, then it is not a burden anymore. No, then we desire it. Then there is a longing in our heart for it. And then out of love to Him is also flowing love to my neighbor. That is why this is called now the second commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, not as God. Because God must be loved in a different way. He must be loved to a different degree. He must be loved far above ourself and everyone else. But the Lord gives us a standard by which we are to love our neighbor. And that standard is a very, very high standard. And it is a standard that does not need to be taught to anyone, not even a child. Because it is a standard that everyone in this world knows. That is the standard of self-love. Do you love yourself? We do love ourselves. Is that wrong? No. That is right. It is very wrong when we would not love ourselves. Because the Lord gives unto mankind that love. And if we are going to harm ourselves, that is very sinful. Another man, we just heard that last week. He was not from our circles, but related. Took his own life. Took his own life. That is the despair, young people, of the devil. That is where the devil drives a person. Or if you have such thoughts, make sure you do not stay alone. Make sure that you go to be by someone else, and that the devil does not have the preeminence, and that that sin does not bring you into that pit of eternal destruction. A standard. Self-love. And now that self-love, the Lord says, you know what that is? That is now the way you must also love everyone else that is around you in the world. Everyone else. That is your duty. That is our obligation. That is that for which we will come into judgment. Thy neighbor as thyself. So that lawyer said to the Lord Jesus, who is my neighbor? Willing, we read, to justify himself in what? Well, in his sin. In his sin, when he did not want to love his neighbor as himself. And Christ extends that to everyone. He says, even to your enemies, Samaritan and a Jew who did not speak one to another. So he says, there is no excuse. And that was exemplified by the Lord Jesus himself when he has walked through this world. Oh, congregation, what a world that would be. If we would live in such a world, living in obedience to the obligations that have been placed upon us, love to God above all, and love to our neighbor as ourself, you say, that would be a very, very different place, wouldn't it? Because with us it is so different. How deep is our fall? Oh, did you ever feel what a miserable creature, not that your neighbor is, but what a miserable creature that you are yourself? That is now what we need to learn. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? In no wise, for I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Prone. Not just somewhat inclined. That is the way that we use that word sometimes. No. No. But it means here, when it says that I am prone to do this, that it belongs to my very nature. It belongs to my very disposition. It belongs to who I am. That is the leaning of the tree of my life. Or everywhere I go, everything I do, everything I say, everything I think that is coming out, this sin that I love myself greater than every other man in this world, and even than God himself. That is the instruction that the Lord is giving by his Spirit out of his holy law in the heart of his people. He does not give that all at once, no. But that is an instruction that is often over many, many years, and that is received by a very painful experience, because then I need to come down in my own estimation. Oh, what I thought myself to be, such a holy and good person, but finding out day by day what wretchedness and what misery, and that is living within my heart to that angel or minister of the church at Ephesus, the Lord, he said, thou hast left thy first love. Thy first love. Do you know what that is? That first love. Because there is a love that is born in regeneration. And that is a love to God that makes your soul to run. It is drawing your soul after the Lord. Oh, how the love of God is then burning within your soul, drawing your soul to the house of God, to the people of God, to the servants of God. Oh, how that love of God makes your heart to weep over your sin, over your transgression, over your iniquity against that good-doing God. Oh, how that love of God is making you so careful when you are walking through this world, that you would do not the least thing that would be to the displeasure of God, and putting a distance, a separation between that holy and the righteous God and your own poor soul. Oh, the love of God, that first love. Maybe you can even speak about that love, that first love to the mediator. And when the Lord has revealed him to your soul, and how that your soul has gone out after him who was born in that stable of your heart. Oh, how he has shown to you a grace is free and sovereign grace. Oh, how that your soul has rejoiced in those moments, and it has gone out after God, that Son of God also in love. Oh, what did the daughters of Jerusalem say to the bride? They said, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Oh, my beloved is white and ruddy. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, then her heart did go out after him, and it spoke of him, and all the love that was in her that was so evident to that young church who was in her midst. But time goes on. In congregation, we are ever strayers. The church of God is ever backsliding from him. And that bride did lay, we read also, on that bed of sloth, and she was not willing to rise up again. Thou hast left thy first love. That was not unknown to David. What did David say? He says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Or was that always so? No. You say that was not always so. Oh, then it makes it even more burdensome to think of the days that have gone by. We sing that sometimes, do we not? Oh, we think of the days of that first love, and then we say how different it was in those days. And then we experience that we are not able to bring it back. No, we are able to destroy everything. We are able to stray away, but we are not able to come again. David says, quicken thou me according to thy word. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the ending. What did David say? He says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. You know what that is? For the Lord to enlarge your heart. And when his spirit comes in your heart, then you feel like your heart is swelling. Like, just like children, like your heart is swelling. And that heart is longing. And it is crying after the Lord. And when that heart is enlarged in love to him, and then you want to run the way of his commandments. And David, he says, that will happen, Lord, when thou dost come. Because I cannot give that love of thee or my neighbor unto myself. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? In no wise. For I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. The rich young ruler said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Why did he say that? Because he did not know himself. He did not know himself. And the Lord Jesus said, now here is something you need to learn. And he sent that man away with a few practical things that he said that he should do. I tried to do. It was not easy for that man. No, he went away sorrowful. But the Lord Jesus gave him that work to do, that he may find out what really lived within his heart. What is now our misery? What is our misery? Well, our misery is that we have not that love that the Lord says that we must have and that we are obliged to have. We have not that love to God, and that we have not that love unto our neighbor. That is now our misery. And that is now what the Spirit of the Lord is instructing his people in. You ever feel it? Did you ever have to smite your breast? Did you ever have to say, oh, wretched man that I am, because I cannot love? Or if that church had to depend upon the love that was living in their own heart, it would be impossible. Not a single person could ever be saved. But what does John say? He says, we love him because he first loved us. And that is now the hope, the only hope, and the only expectation of that true church of God. It is for haters of God and their neighbor. The Lord bring us congregation in a true self-despair, that there may be room for him who so exceedingly loved his church that he gave himself, even to the death of the cross for that people. To them, the Lord Jesus says, you have not chosen me. No. That is true. Ye have not chosen me. But I, he says, have chosen you. And he says, I have chosen you for the purpose that you might go and you might bring forth fruit. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Congregation, we cannot give ourselves love. You can't do that either, right, young people? You say, for this one or that one in the world, say, how can I give myself love to him just like I love myself? And how can I love God whom I do not love? That is true. And so you feel your death, your spiritual death, or is that now your misery? That you do not and you cannot love. And still there are means. There are means that the Lord gives us that love may be worked in our heart. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. That is now a means that the Lord gives to us. Then we may not say, well, there is nothing I can do. No, I cannot give myself that love. That is true. But I can think on these things. Not so long, can we? Can't do that so long. Because then we are off again with our thoughts, right? The congregation, that law of God, the Lord begins it this way to his people. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So how does he begin? He says to his people, I am he that has now delivered you from your enemy. Then he speaks about his own goodness, who that he is. And he begins there. He begins there before that he lays out to them what their obligations are, that they may meditate, that they may think upon all the goodness that the Lord has bestowed upon them. And what does the apostle say? He says, knowest thou not that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee unto repentance? Oh, then think upon these things, upon the goodness of the Lord. Think upon the blessed attributes of the Lord, and may such thoughts break our hard and our stony hearts. The Apostle Paul, he says, the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the patient waiting for Christ. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are so deeply fallen away from Thee. We do not know it. We do not realize it. But Thou dost command us to love. O Lord, remember us. Grant us desires that do not exist in us. Give us new hearts, hearts of flesh. Take away the hatred. Take away the rebellion. Take away the enmity. Deliver us from all of our misery and bring us into Thy blessed favor and communion. Give desires for it, a seeking of it, because in such a way Thou dost say, it shall be found. Dismiss us with Thy blessing. Forgive and take away all of our many sins. Help us to keep Thy day holy, and be with us in the week that is now before us. Keep each one from a sudden and an unprepared death, and wilt Thou give us meditation and thoughts about these things, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 428, 5 and 6. O teach me, Lord, the way that I should go. Then shall Thy servant walk therein forever. 5 and 6 of 428. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.